Well, somebody shout praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say it like Pastor normally says it. You had your chance to shout. Amen. Amen. He said, go up there and fill it out. And I walked up here and all the musicians walked off. Amen. So I guess here we go. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. Stand for the reading of the word. Amen. We're going to dive quickly into the word of God. I feel like the Lord has given me a word for this church. Amen. How many believe what they sang when it said, help is on the way? Amen. How many really believe? Now, you jumped up and down and you spoke in tongues and you shouted unto God, but how many really believe that you can see Him working on the inside and working on the outside? And come on, do you really believe that God is doing a work in this house and He's trying to do a work outside of this house? And oh, yes. Amen. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick. Everybody say it's quick. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That with Him of whom we have to do is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I just feel to preach for just a few moments from this title. The Word of God is. Amen. The Word of God is. By the time this service is over, I pray that something has been birthed inside of you. Amen. And that you are closer to fully realizing the potential that God has for your life. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you tonight, which it's never about the preacher, but it sure ain't about me tonight. I'm preaching to try to help you tonight. I'm preaching to try to help what God is doing in this community tonight. Come on. I'm preaching. I'm preaching for the sake of the sinner that's down on the street corner, homeless and hopeless and helpless, except God shows up in their life. Name of Jesus. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and pray one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for every soul that's gathered into your house. God, I pray that you would speak to us tonight with your precious word. God, we need you tonight. We're desperate for you, Lord, that you would touch us and change us. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, clap your hands and shout unto God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. We have a very special guest tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. Oh. Isn't that a beautiful real baby? Isn't that a beautiful real baby? Why are y'all amening? Amen means it is so. Isn't that a beautiful real baby? Okay. Amen. Is that a real baby? Amen. Are you sure it ain't a real baby? Amen. Would a real baby be crying if it was dropped by Brother Robbie like that? Amen. Now, what on earth makes you think that baby ain't real? Because it ain't alive. Amen. You know, the primary definition of the word real is that it exists in fact and in substance. So actually, this is a real baby. You just know that this baby ain't alive. Amen? And that's how you identify that thing's fake. Amen. It's an imitation of something that should be. Now, sister, come on. Amen. We'll take this real baby and do something with it. Amen. Here you go, Brother Michael. We got you a real baby. Amen. amen. Ain't that the fakest thing you've ever seen? Oh. Are you sure that ain't a fake baby? Come on, church. Are you sure that ain't a fake baby? Yeah. Talk to us about it, sister. Now, what makes it undeniable that that baby ain't fake? The fact that it's alive. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I just need you. We're going to get into the Word in just a second. I just need you to be able to visualize something before we dive into the Word of God. The reason that it's absolutely undeniable that this is a real child is that it's alive. Yeah. Amen. When it moves and it breathes and it looks around and it babbles and talks and it just, they talk about the way a baby smells. Amen. And there's just something about the life. Oh, in the name of Jesus. There's something about the life that makes it undeniable. It would take somebody that was blind and deaf and dumb and insincere to look at this and say, that thing's not real because it's alive. Yes. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Come on, it has all the attributes of being alive. Come on, I want to help somebody tonight because it's really simple to look at a baby doll and say, well, that's not real. Why? Because it's not alive. And it's easy to look at a baby, whether newborn or a toddler or whatever, and I can say, that's fake. No, that ain't fake because it's alive. The fact of the matter is the devil has tried to pin the apostolic church into a corner thinking you ain't got something that's real. Yeah. Baby, you got something that's alive. I'm not just here to preach that the Word of God is. I'm here to preach to you that the Word of God is alive. Come on, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's so simple to identify the fact that baby is real. It's undeniably real because it's alive. Amen. Amen. I'm here to preach some insecurity and some timidity out of some Holy Ghost filled, water born again, spirit born again, apostolic believers. Baby, you got the most powerful thing in all the earth. The Word of God is alive. I'm just going to preach to you for just a little while. I understand. I've been there. When you want to do a work for God and you want to win a soul and you want to talk to somebody. I remember when I was a kid and I remember distinctly a night that or a morning that I was at deer camp and we climbed in the vehicle and Brother Scott Copeland from North Little Rock, he was taking me to my deer stand and it was me and him and another old man in the vehicle. And as we pulled onto that old cutover, Brother Copeland said, "Men, why don't we pray that the Lord will keep his hand on us this morning while we hunt?" And I remember he began to pray and the Holy Ghost began to pray through him. And I sat in the back of that vehicle with tears running down my face and I thought to myself, God, I wish I had the boldness to pray in the Holy Ghost like that. Amen. Amen. I've watched people lay hands on people in public places and pray for them. And I thought to myself, God, I wish I had the boldness to pray for somebody in public like that. I've heard people begin to expound the Word of God. And I've thought to myself, God, I wish I had the boldness to expound your Word like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I know all the corners that the devil wants to paint you into. He wants to make you think that you begin to talk about the Word of God and somebody's going to think that you're an idiot. Let me tell you something. They're so hungry out there that you can't even imagine. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm already already ahead of myself, but I feel good in the Holy Ghost. It was a week ago, Friday. We were sitting in Cracker Barrel, me and Brother Michael and Brother Robbie, and we were going to have a Bible study. And there was an elderly man sitting at a table over there. And I looked over and I saw him sitting by himself. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "You invite him to sit in Bible study with you." And I'll just go ahead and tell you, just to be real. That morning I climbed out of bed, and if I've ever not wanted to teach a Bible study, it was that morning. If I've ever not wanted to get in the vehicle and drive to the restaurant and open the Word of God, it was that morning. I can't explain why. I couldn't explain why. Amen. I drove down the road. As I walked into Cracker Barrel, I felt like I was on the verge of tears. And I was thinking to myself, "Darren Moats, what's wrong with you?" I sat down at the table trying to act normal in front of my friends. And finally, I told him, I said, "Y'all, I'm going to run to the restroom real quick." The fact of the matter is, I got up from that table to try to get my own composure because something was happening inside of me. And the Lord said, "You tell him to join you for Bible study." And so I went to the restroom. I tried to get myself together. I was crying, wiping tears. I came back to the table. I still didn't say anything to the man. And I sat there and the Lord dealt with me. And he dealt with me. And before we dove into the Word of God, I said, "I'm going to go invite that man to sit in Bible study with us." And the look that Brother Robbie and Brother Michael gave me was about what I was feeling inside. Amen. I walked over to that man sitting by himself over a happy plate. He'd eaten every bite that there was. And I said, "Sir, we're about to start a Bible study at this table over here. Would you like to join us?" And he looked down at his plate. He looked up at me. He said, "Well, I just finished this and I got to go to the hospital. My wife is in the hospital." He said, "Well, y'all pray for her." I said, "What's her name?" He said, "Her name is Martha." And I'm telling you, it's just moments. I said, "Sir, do you mind if I pray right now?" He said, "I'd love that." And in Cracker Barrel, I put my arm on that man's shoulder. And I began to pray that the Holy Ghost would visit that man's wife in a hospital room. And big old tears began to flow down that man's face. I'm telling you, I'm learning day by day, and I feel like this is the last time, and it's time for the church to get a hold of what you've been called to do. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." If you could just understand that what you have inside of you is alive. Amen. I had my thoughts all together and exactly how I was going to preach this. And I dove into the Greek of this scripture today. And I thought I hit a major kink. As a matter of fact, I ended up texting a friend of mine. I said, "I just hit the biggest kink I've ever hit when I was studying for a message." The fact of the matter is that we've always applied this as the word, the text, the Bible. The Bible is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The fact of the matter is, word in Greek is the word logos, which is the same word used in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was the word. Now, this is not referring to the man Christ Jesus. This is not referring to the incarnate God, but this is referring to the reason, to the thinking faculties of the mind of God. Now, I just wrote a book, and I'll go ahead and tell you, the thoughts from my mind were put in words on paper. And so this does include the Bible, but it is not limited to the Bible. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't trying to preach some new crazy revelation. I'm just telling you what the language says. Amen. The Bible says, for the reason, the thinking faculties of God are alive. Come on, I'm going to preach to this church. The expressions of his mind are still alive. The thoughts, his reasons are still alive. They're alive today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Name of Jesus. Amen. There's another corner that the devil tries to paint the apostolic church into. And every child of God, every saint of God. And he tries to convince you that you don't know enough of the word to be a witness. He didn't say you'll receive perfect remembrance of the word after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be a witness. He said you're going to receive dunamis power. And you'll be a witness. I'm going to make a distinction for just a moment. You may not have all the knowledge you feel like you need to be a witness. But honey, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power to be a witness. Come on. We're going to take away some excuses tonight. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you were empowered to be a witness. The Bible doesn't say study to be a witness. It says study to show yourself approved. But you get the Holy Ghost to be a witness. Glory. I feel to stay on this for just a moment. You got to understand that the apostles, they didn't have any New Testament to draw from when they were teaching people. They had the Holy Ghost and the Old Testament. Come on, I could probably start spitfiring right now and quote 100 scriptures from the New Testament that would help me to witness. But they didn't have that, and they were still witnesses. They had the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Okay, I don't know if I'm coining this phrase, but the Lord gave it to me in prayer meeting. Okay? And this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And if Pastor's right, okay? Pastor's right. But this is just what I feel. We need to start focusing on situational ministry. Amen. I'm going to take you through the scripture and I'm going to show you that the best, most effective witnesses were situational ministers. They were situational witnesses. What does that mean? That means that they found themselves in a moment and they used that moment to propagate the gospel. Come on, I didn't know that day that man's wife was in the hospital. All I know is I felt an unction from the Holy Ghost that I needed to touch that man. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's start. I believe it's in John chapter 4. The Bible says that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem and he must needs go through Samaria. So he comes to a city called Sychar and he's tired and he sits down on a well. And a Samaritan woman comes and I'll just go ahead and tell you, she's got a lying problem. And she's got a cheating problem. She got some issues. Okay? But you got Jesus sitting on a well. And she needs a drink. So she comes and he's thirsty too. Now, they're in a situation together. He said, hey, give me a drink. She said, why are you a Jew going to ask a drink of me, a Samaritan? You don't deal with us. Let me stop right here and tell you that if you allow people or if you put off the air that the sinner can't try to connect with you in public, you're losing your situation. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but every one of us, no matter how far we've come in God, we're one step away from the worst sinner in this city. If it had not been for Jesus. She said, you're not supposed to deal with people like me. And Jesus said, let me tell you something, woman. If you knew who I was. Can I just apply it to us right now? You think I'm just one of them got it all together apostolics that go over to that church. But honey, if you knew who I was, you would ask me what I had. Oh, I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. That there's some of you right now, you could connect with people in this city if you would just tear down your walls and break down your insecurities and go to somebody and say, baby, I was just where you're at, but I met Jesus one day. Hey, you may look like you've got it all together, but don't forget it's Jesus that's holding it all together. Brother Wade Wallace, if he can do it for you, he can do it for somebody else in this city. Amen. Amen. And so in a situation at a well where a woman is thirsty, naturally, he addresses spiritual thirst. Because the fact of the matter is, Sister Carissa, amen, they have issues that they ain't talking about, but that they know they've got. Amen. And all they need is somebody to come out of their ivory tower and off of their high horse and say, listen, I know I'm in a suit and tie. I know my hair's pretty. And I know I'm dressed fancy right now, but it wasn't that long ago. I was just where you're at right now. And the only difference between me and you is that I walked to an altar and I repented of my sins. I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, let me tell you who I am. If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. Let me tell you something. If they really knew who you were, they would ask you for what you've got. They would ask you, oh, God, help me right now. God forbid the apostolic church is trying to hide their true identity when they're in public. They need to know who you are. They need to know what you've got. He said, you'd have asked me and I'd have given you a drink and you'd have never thirsted again. She said, give me a drink of that water. Amen. God help us. God forbid that you, can I just preach what I feel right now? That you go into the store and you're trying to hide the fact that you're holy and you're modest and you're embarrassed of your sleeves and your hair and oh, God, you're embarrassed that you ain't got any makeup on. God forbid that be the apostolic church. They've tried every bit of mess the world has to offer, and they're dying. They're self-destructing. They're looking for something else. Amen. And sitting on a well, talking to a woman that's naturally thirsty about spiritual thirst, he said, let me tell you something about this water. It'll be a well springing up unto everlasting life. That's situational ministry. He didn't meet her at a well and talk about the Ark of the Covenant and the holiest of holies. He said, you're at a well. I'm going to meet you where you're at. I'm going to get in on what you're experiencing, and I'm going to teach you something you didn't know. Amen. 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 Jesus stood at the Festival of Lights. Everybody say the Festival of Lights. Amen. It was the commemoration of not enough olive oil lasting for 7 days when they went to rededicate the temple after the Jews were brought back after the Babylonian captivity, okay? So they had this holiday where apparently they didn't have enough oil to burn the lamps, and God miraculously caused the lamps to burn for long enough for them to cleanse and purify the temple, and then they were able to get more oil there. So they made it a holiday where they celebrated the miraculous power of God keeping the fire burning. Amen. And at the Festival of Lights, Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. It was situational ministry. I'm not going to stand at the Festival of Lights and talk to you about the darkness pervading into the world. I'm going to tell you, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be. Come on. I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. You are the light of the world. Don't talk to the world about how dark it is. Talk to them about the light that you've got. Amen. On the last day, the great day of the feast. What feast? The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated the booths, the tents that they stayed in the desert between Egypt and the Promised Land. It was a time when the cloud and the pillar of fire, the glory of God, dwelt upon the congregation, and the rock followed them and gave them water. It was commemorating that to a people whom the glory had departed from, and the rock was long gone. They were missing the glory of God, and they were missing the rock, the water from the rock that was Christ, Paul would tell us. Amen. Jesus stands in that festival, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and I will give him drink. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost. Situational ministry. I got another one for you. Amen. Amen. Again, in the book of John, Jesus feeds 5,000 men beside women and children. He sends the disciples away by boat, and he goes into a mountain to pray. That's when the storm happens and they come down, and you know all the story. The Bible says the day following, that means the very next day, the people wake up and they realize that Jesus and his disciples have left. So they run around the Sea of Tiberias to find him again. He's just fed them natural bread. And he stands up and he says, I am the bread of life, which cometh down from heaven. Hallelujah. It's in the book of Acts where Peter would preach a message. Amen. I believe it's from the 14th verse. Yes, from the 14th verse to the 36th verse, Peter preaches a message to the congregation that crucified Jesus, and he preaches to them what's happening right now that you're seeing and hearing from this upper room. It is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. didn't stand up and talk about the law, and he didn't stand up and talk about the ark. He stood up and said, let me tell you something. What you're experiencing is the prophetic outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But he didn't stop there. He went ahead and preached where they were living. He said it was you with wicked hands crucified and slayed the Savior. And when he finished preaching, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. Oh, the word got on the inside and it was doing violence. Pricked their heart. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let me tell you, the most effective way to minister is to minister in the moment. Brother Aaron, is this all right? Is this helping your outreach? Amen. Amen. The best way to minister is to minister in the moment. Amen. Don't wait for Saturday when we're going to knock doors. When you feel it in the grocery store, pray for that person. Pray for that person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. God, help us right now. Amen. They were pricked in their heart. Said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. If you'll begin to minister in the moment, if you'll minister in the situation, you'll have the moment where the word of God gets inside of them and starts doing violence. Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. I'm coming against some things in the Holy Ghost. I feel it. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is wanting to help us. I want to tell you, Peter did not stand and for 20, however many verses, 22 verses, he did not stand and just quote scripture. Okay? So get it out of your mind that the only way to minister to somebody is to be able to quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Now do study to show yourself approved. But when you begin to minister, you're probably not just going to go straight scripture after scripture when they're hurt and say, I know a comforter. When they're broke and they're busted and they're messed up, say, listen, there's a story about a potter. And the Bible says that the work was broken in the hands of the potter, but that's all right. He just put it back on the wheel and made it again. Come on, when you find somebody and they're sick in their body, don't be afraid to say, I know a healer. I know a healer. I know a healer. Oh, yes. 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 God, help us right now. Help us right now. Oh, are you addicted to stuff? Let me help the church right now. Amen. I know you look pretty right now. And you got your suit and your tie and everything's right. Amen. But don't forget how busted up and broken and addicted you were when God found you. I'm not saying that to condemn you, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The reason I'm telling you not to forget it is because there's going to be somebody out there that's just as broke, just as busted, just as addicted, and they're just as hopeless. But that's okay, baby, because I've not forgot where God brought me from. Let me tell you about my story. You think you're a hopeless cause? Sit down. Let me tell you about my story. I thought I was hopeless too. I thought I was too addicted too. I thought God was done with me too. The Bible says how forcible are right words. A word fitly spoken. How good it is. Amen. Don't be afraid to let God use you. You don't have to carry a Bible. You ain't got to have your pocket Bible studying with somebody. Well, you know, you know what? I'm way off. Way off, way off. If somebody says, what do you believe? You don't have to be ready to tell them every single doctrinal scripture in the Word of God. They ain't got time for that anyway, standing in the grocery store. When they say, what do you believe? You need to say, I believe that the same way Jesus worked out in my life, he can work out in your life. I believe ain't nobody too far gone for the God that I serve. I believe that if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost just like he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Make it your own. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you the power to be a witness. Amen. You know, you can reach people that I can't reach. I can reach people you can't reach. Amen. There may be somebody out there that's struggling with the Greek of the oneness, and they can talk to me, and I can make it make sense. But then there may be somebody that's struggling with an alcohol addiction. And I have no idea what that's like. But you may know what that's like. And so you can talk to them. Amen. On the road to Emmaus, the two disciples, after Jesus has been resurrected, they're walking away from Jerusalem. Amen. And Jesus appears to them. He appears to them cloaked. They do not know who he is. They cannot identify his presence. They cannot identify his form. They cannot identify his identity. But he begins to talk. Oh God. And that word is alive. He just begins to talk to them. And after they finally get to the house, start to break bread, and it's known who he is, and he disappears from them. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked? Can you talk? Is everybody here capable of talking? Can you talk? Show of hands. Can you talk? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Not in the house of God. He talked with us by the way. And he opened to us the scriptures. Yeah. Oh, God, help me right now. God, help me right now. Please don't mistake anything I'm saying. And if you get confused from here on out, come talk to me after church. Amen. The Bible says that we're one body, we're many members, okay? One body. Everybody say one body. One body, many members. Everybody say many members. Okay, one body, many members. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joint. Can you put that scripture back up there? Amen. I want them to be able to see Hebrews 4:12. Okay. We are one body, many members. Okay? But we are the body. Now, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the body. Everybody say he's the head. Okay. Where is the mind at? Where's the mind at? Okay. So when it says the word, the Logos, hotheos, the Word of God is alive And it means that the thinking faculties of God are still alive. That means that the mind of God, which is in the head, Christ Jesus, connected to the body, is still alive, and it's still working, and it's... Okay, I know this is simple, but I'm a simple person, okay? All right. Now, this word is an expression of the thoughts and the mind of God. This word is, okay. But if God only used this word to reach people, then Bibles would be falling out of heaven, hitting people in the head while they're walking down the road to get their attention. But that's not how it works. To preach this right now. You are the members of the body, and the word, the mind, the reason of God is still alive. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole have no need of a physician, but they that are broken. Okay, if that's the mission of the Logos, and the Logos is alive in the mind. Okay, I want to shake Matthew's hand, okay? My mind wants to shake Matthew's hand, okay? The mind has to tell the hand, reach out and shake Matthew's hand. Now, if Jesus wants to seek and save that which is lost out there, that mind has to tell a member. I feel the Holy Ghost helping us right now. Amen. You're going to be empowered before you leave to be a witness, to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. I heard a saying. The saying was, I can do all things through a scripture taken out of context. Okay? I'm about to take one out of context. Fair warning. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, I know what that scripture means. If you know that I took it out of context, then you know what it means. Okay? So we know what it means. Let's put another application on it. To be carnally minded is death. That means if you can't find his mind, the word of God that is alive, somebody out there is going to die because of it. Come on, you got to stay with me right now. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means if I can find the mind of God every single day and I'm walking through the grocery store and he says, hey, pray for that person right there. And you may not know that their husband or their wife just left them, but all you know is the Holy Ghost just told me to pray for you. And you say, hey, brother, I feel to pray for you right now. And he's, oh, my Lord. The fact of the matter is, my spouse just left me. Well, that's fine. I know a comforter. God, I pray that you would be a comforter right now to this man in the grocery. And the devil wants you to think that you go to do that and somebody's going to look at you like you're an idiot and turn around and walk off. That's what the devil wants you to think. But I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar. Yeah. The devil's a liar. And the word of God is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God forbid that the Baptists are leading the charge on praying for people in public. God forbid. God forbid. We need to be leading the charge, church. We are the blood bought, spirit raised. Amen. I need y'all to help me for the next few minutes. I'm tired. Amen. I preached about all the energy I got. Amen. This is what I came to preach. The Word of God. Can you put the title back up? The title back up. The Word of God is alive. Amen. I'm going to tell you a story. And Ashley, if you hear this, I'm praying for you. Me and Madison are praying for you. Amen. There's a girl by the name of Ashley in Texas Roadhouse. And she waited our table one day, and we invited her to church. Amen. Please tip your waiter when you go out. God help us. Amen. And if this is just me. The Bible says something to the effect of, if it be at all possible, follow peace with all men. If it be at all possible, don't complain about your food. You got to understand you're a witness. They know who you are. They know who you are when you walk in the restaurant. Amen. And so this girl waited our table, and we invited her to church. And I came back and I prayed, and I just felt a special burden, and I prayed for her. And I know you meet a lot of people out and about and whatever, but I made it a point to call. It was about, as a matter of fact, Brother Michael, it was about the same time that you came in and prayed back through the Holy Ghost. And I would lay down and I would specifically call Ashley's name out in prayer, and I would call Brother Michael LaBrieha's name out in prayer, and I would pray that the Lord would touch them. And so a couple of weeks later, I was back at the restaurant, and she was there, and I just began to talk to her, and I began to ask her some questions, and just kind of feeling out the things of God in her life, and I realized that as I talked, she began to, her face kind of began to sober, and she began to turn a little bit red, and I believe there was even some tears in her eyes, and she was having trouble just kind of talking. She got quiet, and this is what I told her. This is what started the whole deal. She wasn't even waiting on our table. She was over there, and she started to walk past. And I said, "Ashley." She looked over, and she saw. No. That was a different time. This time I was walking out, and she was sitting there like on a break. And I walked up, and I said, "Ashley, we've been praying for you." And this look just came over her face. And you know what she said? She didn't say thank you for praying. She didn't say anything like that. You know what she said? She said, "Y'all remembered my name." In a world where everybody's just a number, God, and just a pawn in the bigger grand scheme of hell's kingdom, something as simple as just remembering a name. Oh God. So I tell her, "I'm praying for you." She followed the church. I saw her later at the restaurant. I said, "You been watching church services?" I said, "We've been missing you at church." She said, "I followed the page." I said, "Well, have you watched any services?" And she said, "No." Oh, God. But you know what? Every time I see, I say something. I don't invite her to church every time I see her, but I say something. I saw her today in the restaurant. I said, "Hey, there's Ashley." And then I saw she was wearing a name tag that said Natalie. I said, "Why did I think your name was Ashley?" She said, "It is. I forgot my name tag." Amen. Oh, God. I'm praying there's going to be a door of utterance open. We're going to teach her a Bible study. She'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is what I feel in my spirit. I'm telling you, I can start talking and I can see that just the words are getting into her spirit and they're doing violence. Oh, God. Oh God, I've never ever dove into the first doctrinal thing, not one single time. Just the words are forcible. They're getting into that heart. They're getting into that spirit. And I can tell you, she's not said it, but I'll tell you, she knows there's something different about us. God. And I'm just here to encourage you. I'm almost done preaching. Sister Alicia, you can come.
God, help me right now.
Oh, God, help me right now. They know who you are. They don't know everything about you, but they know who you are. And I've just come to tell you, don't be afraid to just start talking to people, because the Word of God is alive. I pray that there would be a spirit of boldness come upon us in this house. I know that God's moving on the inside, but I sometimes worry that the Word, the mind, the reason, the living Word, is walking through the streets of the city. And it finds somebody. Hey, I can save this person. I've been seeking, and I found them. And the mind speaks to the hand. And the hand is too afraid to reach out. Don't mistake anything I say, right? But if Jesus Christ is going to touch them, it's going to be through you. You are the body. Please, please don't mistake what I'm saying. But the hands that reached out and touched blind Bartimaeus, if they're going to reach out and touch the blind in this city, it's going to be your hands. If Jesus Christ is going to speak to people in Hot Springs, Arkansas, it's going to be your voice. The Word hasn't lost its power. The Word hasn't lost its effectiveness. Now it's time for the church to get a revelation. If it's going to do what it has the power to do, it's going to be through the power invested in us. Come on, all over this house, let's make this place a prayer meeting. God is already dealing with people from the front to the back, from the side to side. God's dealing with you right now. God is one to empower. He's one to put a spirit upon you of boldness, an anointing to be a witness. Come on, you need to find yourself a place to pray right now until you understand exactly what God can do through you. Come on, come on. He's just looking for somebody to reach. Come on, he's looking for somebody to reach out. It's not difficult. This ain't rocket science. This is just walking in the Spirit.